it's not COVID.
Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR. Yeah, is it relaxing? Are you relaxed yet? And you're back for some reason for another Drunk and Dangerous. I am, as always, intoxicated. Not always. That suggests I have a problem. As always on this show, intoxicated to a very high level. My normal is a much lower level. Because I'm all intoxicated with the love for my patrons. See, I saved it. Okay, so today you sick bastards are continuing to join me for whatever reason in this horrible journey to the moon with the most boring protagonist I have ever read, who is now going to Lunar Base 1 after sitting down to a nice dinner at Cheryl's. The only reason I know this is because I had to re-listen, because of course I didn't remember. Who would remember what was happening unless you just listened to it? It was so boring. It's the literary equivalent of like watching Family Vacation slides, but they're all shot at like one of those like upward angles that's really unflattering and also really dark, so you can't kind of see anything about what's going on. And it's also like 3 hours long. And no, you can't get up to use the bathroom. And no, looking at your phone is rude. So the fact that you're all coming back here to join me willingly for that experience shows that you're sick, and yes, your doctor should sign off on that note saying that you can't work. So try to use this as proof. If they've listened this far, I'm pretty sure they're already shaking their heads sadly. You pay for this? Oh God, put that in the notes. Okay, so we're making, surely right now listening to this, is making as good a decision as David has to take a position, because I assure you have forgotten this, as first science officer on the USS Lunar Base 1. After spending 20 years as a high school teacher, he's the best they've got for some reason. And it's this boring-ass, baloney-eating motherfucker. So we're clearly all screwed. This is chapter 6. If you're religious, please feel free to do a little prayer on your behalf. I'm sure it wouldn't work for me. Pretty sure. I've got just kind of like, it's the opposite of a bubble of protection. It's a bubble of rejection. You know, all kind of mythical creatures just, no. God's light won't reach there. Down in the pit. Here we go. The Crew, chapter 666. No, it's just chapter 6. Might as well be. David grabbed the paper. Grabbed is also capitalized. So I like to think his name is David Grabbed. What an interesting name. David grabbed the paper and ate his breakfast. Maybe the paper was his breakfast. Saving time. Some of us love that, right, missing? Call out. Dumbass bitch. It didn't take long before he was ready to go. Well, yeah, because he probably eats bologna for breakfast and lunch and dinner, and you know he doesn't bathe every day. He's not the type. You know, he's like, I'm clean enough as it is. I didn't really do much today. It's like, you're filthy, David. You're just a disappointment. Soap isn't that expensive. I mean, you're not spending the money on food. You're just eating bologna. I mean, I remember eating bologna as a poor child. There was a lot of bologna in the house. And even then, I didn't like it. I never would have chosen it. And I don't want a food shame, but that's fucking weird, David. And you have the personality of bologna, you know? And I'm salty like bologna, and this story is bologna, so it all fucking comes in a big circle like bologna. That's right. You're fucking paying for this. I love you. What the hell? Thank you. Anyway, I'm done on that. No, I'm not. I'll probably come back to it like bologna. I'm just a big bologna myself. I'm palatable, I'm there. It's filling. You're always kind of slightly regretful when you're done. But you'll come back to it. You can't stop yourself. You're just like David. I wonder if they have bologna on Lunar Base 1. Anyway, he ate his bologna. There were two sentences in. This is how much I've ranted. I'm sure he ate cold bologna for breakfast. No, not cold. He wouldn't bother to refrigerate it. It's probably just sitting by his desk or something. He, like, flops his hand over and just peels a slice off for breakfast. Probably pisses in a jug, too. Stores it under his bed. Why bother? He's the great David. His mind is just too preoccupied with space and all the things he loves about space to bother with earthly matters such as showering and properly refrigerating meat products. Meanwhile, he's like tripping off his rancid meat and sure that he's in Mars, but he's foaming at the mouth. It's terrible. Fucking David. I'd actually be really happy if that happened. At the end, it turned out he just got like listeria from shitty lunch meats. It'd be hilarious. The death of David. But it won't end that way. That'd be too M. Night Shyamalan, you know. All right, let's continue. He told Cheryl he would see her tomorrow night at 7 and they would go out and eat somewhere. The Walmart? They have bologna at the Walmart. You could eat there. Probably walk and shop. They don't mind that much. Cheryl had a big smile on her face and said, "That sounds great." I mean, the way you write it with a big smile on her face kind of sounds a little forced. Sure, she's not just forced. Yeah, that's great. Is it a grimace or a smile? I mean, she's going out with David. I think we know. David said, "I will see you then," and went on to work. I hope he went on the building. He finally arrived at operations at NASA, and everyone was just changing shifts. Kim was just arriving, too, and said, "Good morning." "Good morning," said David. Wait, what did Kim sound like? I don't even remember. Oh, wait, Kim was, like, super eager, right? Like, over the top? Oh, yeah. Kim just arrived, too, and said, "Good morning." "Good morning," said David.
"I have already checked. There has not been any more flashes of light last night, or our alarm would have went off," said Kim. "I guess we might be out of the woods."
"I think we are, too. There's no fucking breaks or anything to suggest who's speaking, so please forgive me if the voices are fucked up. I should have chosen the same voice for everyone, because I don't know who the fuck's talking and who's saying what. What the fucking fuck? Fuck the person writing these run-on goddamn sentence. I paid money for this. That's even worse than paying money to hear me talk about paying money for this. Oh my god. Okay. We're going to have so much to talk about with our respective therapists. If you didn't have one before you listened to me, you definitely should have one now. By the time we get done with this story, certainly. Why did we pay for this? Why was I compelled? Was it my parents' fault? Can I blame them somehow? I will. So the answer should be yes, because I'll do it either way. Cheryl, anyway, was forced to go out with David, and everybody was like, "Oh, we're changing shifts," and Kim was talking, and it all ran along, because who fucking knows? I think we are, too.
"Well, did you decide yet about the job on USS Lunar Base 1? Asked Kim? Question mark? They're not sure either.
"I think I'm going to take it."
"All right. I bet you will love that job."
"I hope so, because it is a 10-year commitment." "The only thing I do not like about everything is that my shuttle goes off."
"Goes off?"
That's such a weird way to describe the fact that it's taking off or launching. It goes off?
All right, whatever. His shuttle goes off. I'm not a space NASA lunar base scientist. What do I know? Maybe that's the actual official term. Forgive me, baloney man. Anyway. Oh, apparently his name's David Bramer, but I thought it was David Grabbed. Oh, it must have been a mistake. Who knew? Anyway, it's Halloween. Kim smiled some, just some. He wasn't forcing the grimace like the other girl. And said,
"You know, you're right. I never thought of that. I think that would bother me, too.
I'm going to go ahead and call Bud and tell him the good news." Why are you telling Kim? Kim doesn't give a fuck what you're going to do. Just go away. Like, you don't need to narrate this. I mean, I guess because you are technically the main character, but in real life, don't do this to people. They don't care who you're going to talk to unless it affects them. People are selfish, and they just don't care.
by and large. You know. I don't care who my coworker is going to talk to. He's not a friend, you know? It's different if it's friends, but if my coworker's like, hey, I'm going to go chat with other coworkers. Like, are you talking about me? Then go away. I don't care what you're what show you watched last week. Good for you. Are you bragging? Fine, I get it. I have no friends. Then you run off crying and you're fired again. And it's like the third McDonald's. And this time, like, you know they're spreading your picture around. And it's like, okay, so you found me sobbing in a ball pit a couple of times. What else am I supposed to do? You won't cover my medical care and I can't see a therapist. And I listen to so much dangerous ASMR. See, it came around like a baloney circle. All right. I know I'm not reading the story very much, but trust me, this is better. Okay, it's Halloween, and Kim never thought of that because he's too busy snorting cocaine because it's the only thing that keeps him awake up on the lunar base. I need to add some spice to this story because clearly nothing is going to happen. You know, the End of Moon people is probably they had a fine time and he goes back home with some rocks. Like, that's probably how it ends based on how exciting this story has been so far. They'll see the comet that might hit Earth, and at the end it didn't, and they were like, phew, that was nice. And they all planted some trees for Earth Day. Like, oh wow, what a tepid fucking day you had. Fabulous. What's for dinner? Oatmeal? Unflavored oatmeal and plain applesauce? Delightful. My favorite. All right, I promise I'll read this. It's probably what he gives on Halloween, right? He just loves giving those really shitty, mealy, red, delicious apples and unflavored oatmeal packets. You know what that's what this fucker gets. And floss. Floss and like toothbrushes, but like small ones and not soft bristles, like extra hard. The ones no one buys. The ones where like, who would buy these ones? They basically gouge your gums out. He would. Why would you enjoy brushing your teeth? Everything should be a pain with David Bramer. Fucking loser. I'm so angry at David. Get out of here. It's the only feeling I can muster at this story. Just kind of. Other than boredom, it's just kind of anger. Like, fuck you for existing, you boring-ass character. Be written better. Oh, yeah, so anyway, he just shared his whole life story with his coworker, who really just probably was already halfway across the hall by the time he finished talking. I've actually had that happen to me, and I was that coworker, so I recognize it. I feel you, David. We're both boring, bologna-eating bastards. David calls Bud, and Bud answers the phone.
Hello.
I remembered he's old. See, I got it this time. Hey, it's me. David Bramer. He fucking talked to you yesterday. Is he senile? Okay, well, he's really old, so he's got dementia. Thank you. That's why he hired you. It's all coming together. Sorry, I needed another hit for this because he really thinks Bud can't remember, like, fucking hiring this guy. He could just say, it's David. You don't have to add your last name. How many Davids do you think he talked about hiring recently? I mean, he is forgettable, though. But you know what? He didn't have to introduce himself. The smell of bologna that wafted in the room with him introduced him perfectly well. It rolled out the goddamn red carpet. Oh, Oscar Mayer, is that you? Yeah, it fucking is. David Bramer. You know he smells like a week-old locker room bologna sandwich. And we all know what those are because I had to eat them as a child. It gets, like, smashed under your shit. And you still have to eat it because you're hungry. But it does not smell. It smells like an old bathroom. Like, it doesn't smell good. It smells like bologna, you know? It's like an old armpit. You're eating it. It's got that David Bramer smell. Bramer's own, as you might call it. Hey, it's me, David Bramer. He's here for his roasting, and he's getting it. Smells like fried bologna in here. I just wanted to call and tell you that I have decided to take the job on the USS Lunar Base 1. Well, I'm so glad you said the whole thing. I know how to pad an essay, too.
Hey, that's great, Mr. Bramer.
I just added that in there because he needed the inflection. He's dementia, you know.
You know that they really need you aboard. You will have a good crew aboard the USS Lunar Base 1.
He has to repeat it to remember because of the dementia.
Well, I guess you need to talk to Admiral Benson. I will call him in a couple of minutes and set everything up. and you can talk to him today sometime, and you can make arrangements with him. He will probably want you to go and pack what you want to take with you and report to your new home. Lest we forget, I must repeat, the Luna Base One.
I think he has sticky notes everywhere just saying Lunar Base One, David Bramer. And it's on his to-do list. My fucking God, they really love to mention it's the Lunar Base One. I will not forget. No, I will, but, you know, if it was slightly less boring, I wouldn't.
Hey, David, let me get on this. I will get back to you in a little while. Okay, I'll catch you later,
said Bud. Then Kim said, let me set the layout of Lunar Base 1. What, where? Who? I forgot where that base was. On your computer, and you can check out your new home. It is actually a pretty elaborate space station. It has everything on board that a small city has, including a couple of bars on board, and also a couple of shopping malls. My fucking God, that's big. A basketball court. It's not basketball. It's basketball. They can't afford the full basketball. It's basketball in space. And don't you fucking forget, basketball's for fucking Earthies. That's a goddamn Earth game. We play basketball here up in space. The fucking Space Jam, bitch. No, don't watch the second one, dear God, no. People need to seriously stop remaking shit. Please fucking stop. There's a million other better ideas than remaking fucking Doogie Howser. Go fuck yourself. Please, Hollywood, fuck yourself. Please, please, not everything is about trying to make money. I mean, I get it is for corporations, and I understand on a purely capitalistic level, that's great, and you're making profit and fine. But oh my God, like the artistic side of things, it is depressing as hell. Like, you're never going to go anywhere unless you take more chances on out there ideas. And to see big studios just continuing to pump money into old ass franchises that don't need to be redone again. Like, they're not a great idea. They're not even an idea that didn't get a shot in Hollywood. They're not like some indie film. Like, you're taking mainstream things that were fairly recently made and popular and remaking them to the cry of nobody. Nobody wanted you to remake these. But they're like so afraid that if they put money into an unknown that they won't make a profit. And it's just like you kill the art of it, you know? And it's gross because like you can tell when it's just for money, when it's like a soulless studio product. And it's like, ew, you know, it's too polished and pretty and shiny. And it's like, I see exactly what you're doing. You're telling me what I should consume. Boo. And I'm probably consuming it at this moment. Boo on me also. I'm such a baloney. That's all of life. All right, let's go back. I'm going to force myself to read this shit. All right. Basketball, the horrible Earth game. It all started this shit. There is even a small farm on board. Oh my God, are there like PETA members on board to like throw blood at the farm? And then you set them free and they die on the moon. Typical PETA. They set the animals free and kill them. All right, I get it. You're jealous. You just want to murder them yourself. Go on. You did it. I hope your cause was to make me hate PETA because you succeeded. You have everything there that you need. You are totally independent. He didn't know David. Cool, said David. I tricked you into thinking I was independent. No, I will check this out. Why does he always say I will and I will not? Actually make my word shorter ever. I say do not and will not. Like, what the hell? I mean, technically you're not on planet Earth, but you are from planet Earth. This isn't how everybody talks. David. Maybe they're all a bunch of baloney eaters in the future. I don't know. But I'm really hoping not, because good God. I thought climate change was the worst thing we had to worry about. Now we've got David Bramers running around eating baloney and pushing their Wonder Bread attitudes on everybody. I don't know how to have. If meh was a fucking personality. Like, oh my God, okay, I get it. You're boring. Congratulations. I now am more suicidal than ever just by having to be around you. I see there's no point in living if I have to consider this conversation and
have to continue it any fucking further. Like this story. We're going on. We're continuing. Oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm going to manage to read this. I'm telling you, it's a struggle, man. It's a struggle. It was already a Monday to begin with when I'm recording this, and this is the Monday of stories. Oh, yeah. Cool, said David. I will check this out, because of course you would have nothing better to say. He's just, bleh. I might as well get to know my new home. As David went through the Lunar Base 1 program, he realized that the base station did have a lot more extras than he thought. Where's the whorehouse, and are there Martian alien whores? I'm so down. What do they offer? And it better be interesting. I better not see that the Martians are basically like humans with a spot or something. No, it better be something freaky. If I'm going to the moon to fuck, because that's what David didn't come here, but I would. Coming to the moon to fuck, it better be a weird-ass moon creature. Consent, of course. You know, always consent. I'm not down for trafficking moon creatures. This has to be like a consensual moon creature experience. But they better be weird. And they better have some kind of like weird vibrating feature. I don't know what it is. But moon creatures, get on that technology. It did have everything a city has, including a full-size hospital and staff. Is it just Earth at this point? Did you just terraform this moon? It also has a full-size observatory, which I cannot wait to take a look at. Is he saying this out loud to himself? I don't know. I guess. Or maybe it's the author. He's like, when I die, I'll be on the moon base. I will bet it is nicer than anything I am used to. I am not used to this grasp of the English language. Hey, look. Here, these ships even have weapons. We got a laser and missiles and rockets. Wow. Oh my God, this man's the top space scientist, and that's what he has to say. That is his reaction. I'm not saying it's necessarily indicative of his intelligence, but I would think a man who was that well-versed in space wouldn't be like, whoa, these ships' rockets go boom, boom, whoa. Like, good God, you're an old-ass man who should be more professional than this. But then again, lukewarm bologna eaten off the floor or wherever. He probably clips his toenails in bed and just leaves them there like a fucking savage. Doesn't mind feeling him brush up against his thighs. Makes him feel alive. Wakes him up in the middle of the night, and for a second he thinks it's the sharp toenails of a lover, but no, then he remembers he has no sharp toenailed lover. Those are his own disgusting failures of toenails, you know, or something like that. I imagine the writer lives like that too. Fuck you, person who created this person. They're you and they suck. Anyway, he's got the excitement of like a 4-year-old, like, oh my God, look, rocket go boom, boom. Pew, 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 rocket. Anyway. Oh my God, and he's a pervert. She is also very nicely decorated and very classy looking, too. That's how people describe me. Just kidding. Classy, never. Nice, no. Look here. This baby has got 5 shuttles. That's terrible. Don't give a baby shuttles. Look here. This baby's got 5 shuttles, also armed with lasers and rockets. I guess he was saying this out loud. Who knows? Quotation marks aren't a thing. They don't exist on the moon. Or on Earth, for David. All of a sudden, not the sudden, a sudden, all of a sudden, the phone rings. David answers the phone. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Braemar. This is Admiral Benson. I was just told by Mr. Walker, director of NASA, that you have decided to take the job of first science officer aboard the What Is It Kids? USS Lunar Base 1. Is that true?
What do you think the guy's just like? Well, dementia. Sorry, take it back. Dementia is like confirmed at this point. Because you're basically like, look, the demented old admiral told me something. Is this real? Like, he's been known to lie before. That's probably why they have all those rockets and guns and shit. Because he was like, a war is coming. And, like, they just believed him. But he was talking about Vietnam or something. You know? So they're like, look, we need to make sure before we actually, like, start doing things. Because you can't just do shit because he tells you to. Because he'll tell you to do all kinds of crazy crap. Like, read this story.
Anyway, so Admiral Benson's like, hey, can we trust that demented old piece of shit? And he goes, yeah, it's true. I was hoping I would get to talk to you today about this. So yes, we've all confirmed that the demented guy is, in fact, has dementia. The old man is demented, which makes sense. All of it makes sense. They won't say it, but the subtext is here. And because the text itself is boring, we have to insert our own subtext, which will honestly give this story a lot more punch, I think, you know? So Bud is a demented old moon-based leader, and he's like already grandfathered in, and they're trying to push him through. Like, basically every president they're giving us in elections now is old as dust. They're propped up, right? They're basically weakened at Bernieing the political leaders. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of these 80-something-year-old men. Like, good God. Can we get somebody who I don't think is going to die in the next decade? That'd be great. Because, I mean, it's basically like giving a death row inmate the keys to the country. They know they're gone in the next 10 years. Why would they give a shit about keeping it good, you know? Give me a young person that's going to have to deal with the ramifications of their actions. And if they fucking suck in office, hey, guess what? They're going to live the rest of their fucking life that way, which is longer than 5 years. Like, good God. And no wonder a bunch of old people don't give a fuck. And you're telling them to run the country? Dude, I agree that with age comes wisdom. But that's like 40s, 50s. You should be wise enough. You don't need another 30 years. You know, you shouldn't be like, hey, grandpa's retired. He's bored. Let's give him something fun to do, like run the country. rant over. I'm doing it. Okay, I can. I've got this. We can all get through this. Demented old Bud, anyway. Yes, it is. I was hoping I would get to talk to you today about this. Yes, as soon as Bud told me about you, I called right away. Okay. Two of our crew members were hurt in an automobile accident. Really? You said automobile. Okay. And we just got orders to leave Space Dock as soon as possible from the White House. In addition, we are not coming back for a very long time. You don't think he knows that? You're talking to him like you talk to your special needs child. Like, he should know at this point. Did you wash your hands before you docked on the space lunar base one? You know, like, no, I'm not sure. Oh, wash really thoroughly. Did you brush your teeth? Let me check. Like, what the hell? It's terrible. All right, we're not coming back for a very long time, Billy. Are you sure you want to go? My God, stop fucking pestering me. Yes, sir, I have made up my mind, and there is no turning back now. I mean, technically, there... Okay, then welcome aboard. The last shuttle takes off at 0900 on Monday morning. By the way, did you realize that Monday was Halloween? Yes, sir, I know. It does bother me a little bit. You have until then to change your mind. You're going to have to be here a good 24 hours earlier for launch preparations. And a quick wait... He's changing tenses because he says it takes off Monday morning. And then he said, did you realize that Monday was Halloween? You mean it is Halloween? I was getting very confused there. You can tell when nobody edited this shit for you. I'm sorry. That is like an obvious catch. This is like you published the roughest of rough drafts. To the point where embarrassingly bad, like, I learned to format better than this in fucking elementary school, dude. Like, this is actively trying to suck. It is impressive how much you're sucking. And not in a good sexy whore way, like moon sexy beast whore way. I haven't forgotten. I will never forget. I will die on that moon beast whore grave. Not that I would ever beat a moon beast whore. Anyway, Monday is Halloween. Let's continue. You have until then to change your mind. You're going to have to be here a good 24 hours earlier for launch preparations and a quick health checkup. Then after that, the only thing you are going to see is the stars. What does that even mean? Aren't you going to see the inside of the fucking rocket, or are they just going to drug you and you wake up there and your pants are on backwards? They promised nothing happened, but you totally know it did because, like, the ride only took 8 hours, but you were out for, like, 12. Also, your butt hurts. It's the most action David's ever seen. He's probably like, thank God. Whew. I heard about this. I signed up for this launch. Don't worry, I'll be right there alongside of you? Question mark? That does not make me feel good, sir. You just should not say that questioningly. Good God. That's my flight, too. Great. The truth about it is, I am a little scared of that shuttle launch to the base station. Especially on Halloween. What about the ghosts? Why is he scared? Is he a little pussy puss? Puss puss who believes that shit? Aw, you little pussy.
Maybe daddy hold your hand.
But I think I will be all right after that. He's legitimately scared of launching on Halloween. For why? Is it superstition? Are you scared the mean kids will egg you while you're trying to launch? What is your fear exactly? The rocket will get caught up in all the pumpkins that have been scarved like a scarf. That's not a thing. You could add scarves. They wouldn't make it scarier, though. Scarved and carved, fashionably. Would they trip them? Like, what's the point? Why are you scared? Are the ghosts of astronauts past going to attack? I would watch the fuck out of that movie, by the way. Haunted space launch. Could you imagine? And then, like, you fight them on the ghosts on the space station. You think you're good, but they followed you on to the moon. And then you have a space ghost. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, such a stupid movie. I watch the hell out of it because all I watch are stupid movies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Spoopy, spoopy Halloween space launch scary ghosts. That's what I got. David's a little puss-puss. Apparently eating bologna does not make one brave, and it definitely does not increase your testosterone levels. If anything, they're lower. Lower, as low as low can be. Let's see. Good, Captain Braemar, because you and I are going on one hell of a ride Monday morning. Trick or treat. It wasn't even a new sentence. It was just comma trick or treat, which just adding that at the end of your sentence is fucking weird. Is that your catchphrase? Trick or treat, motherfuckers? Like, all right, well, I'm just going to say it the way it's done. Good Captain Braemar, because you and I are going on one hell of a ride Monday morning. Trick or treat. I will show you wonders you are. I will show you the world. I will show you wonders you always dreamed about. Bam, chicka, bam, bam. I bet he will while he's out, and then he'll see the stars, and he will see the inside of Captain Braemar. That's pretty cool, sir. He's like five. What? It's pretty cool, sir. You're like 50. What the fucking shit, dude? This is how you talk? That's how I would respond. No, I would respond better, and I'm terrible. Shame on you. That's pretty cool, sir. Wowee. Rape. No, I'm just kidding. It's never funny. Unless the person's a baloney-eating David Braemar, because this guy's stupid shit, and the worst thing should happen to him. He's so boring. Good God. Anyway, I will show you wonders you always dreamed about. Tell me that's not rapey. I mean, that's a Tinder pickup line, like a bad one. I will show you wonders. Okay, Aladdin. Where's the fucking magic carpet, Admiral Benson? Fucking creep. How many, like, I feel like there's some serious-ass skeletons in Admiral Benson's closet. All the old space captains who took his offer of flying up on the station. That's why it took so long. He's like the bottom of the barrel. All the other ones have been killed by the horrible predator, Admiral Benson. So that's why he's really scraping the bottom of the rung. He knows he smells like baloney. He's not into it. He's like, oh, yes, a shower is required to come aboard Lunar Base 1. And he's like, huh, yeah, he might be tolerable if he's, you know, hosed of the baloney stench. Anyway, David hung up the phone. He couldn't believe this was all happening so quick. And that Monday morning, he was going to leave Earth for a very long time. Okay, he's like a first grader. The logic he uses. I feel bad. He's clearly, like, mentally not all there. They shouldn't be using this guy. He's basically like a test monkey. The monkeys were better prepared for this. Wow, space is cool. Rockets and lasers. Pew, pew. Like, come on. He's gonna die. He's gonna walk out without his space helmet on and die immediately. Regardless of how many hospitals you have in your giant duplex space palace, I don't know, it's huge. They have two malls in there. What's the point? Who are you selling this to? David Bramer? You can only buy so much baloney. All right, let me see. Where am I? How could I get lost in this scintillating story? Kim was watching David and walked over and said, "What's a matter?" Not "what's the matter." He said, "What's a matter?" Liquid. Like, seriously. Oh, God, okay. What's a matter? You having second thoughts. It's not even a question. Okay, so, again, I need to say this as it's written because it's so dumb. Kim was watching David and walked over and said, "What's a matter, you having second thoughts?" "No, not at all. I just can't believe how fast everything in going in my life." "Oh, it's going in, all right." "Yeah, I know what you mean. It isn't every day you leave Earth and go out into space. It is if this is Groundhog's Day. You're gonna do it every day forever. Oof. You know, Bud offered that other assistant science officer job on Lunar Base 1 to me." "Hey, that's great. Are you going to take it?" "I don't know. I'm just thinking about it," said Kim. "I just might. The pay is great." It's the end of the chapter. Wow, this guy knows how to lift people on a cliffhanger. Whoa, the pay is great? How much? Are there benefits? Do you get vacation days on the fucking moon? Are there moon beasts you can fuck? Look, I'm just trying to get out of this job. I clearly know at the end, you're just, there's a cold moon grave waiting for you after you get drugged and your body is taken advantage of by Admiral Creeper. This is the only reason why he lets Dementia Bud, like, hire these scientists over and over. He keeps forgetting that he hired old scientists, right? Because he doesn't remember. So the other guy takes advantage of that by just killing each scientist that comes out and be like, "Hey, you didn't do it yet." And Bud's, he's happy to forget. So if David's not molested and murdered, I'm going to be so disappointed. I'm going to be like, what? This book was so promising. Just kidding. You know I was kidding. We're all kidding. Please don't like this book. Please. There's so much better out there. Literally all of it. All of it is better. All right. Let's finish this off with chapter 7. Fate steps in. Oh my God, could this be? We've all been crossing our fingers for David to finally meet his fate. I doubt it. I'm only 28% through this book, according to my phone. So, extremely doubtful, but fate steps in. Maybe something will actually happen, or maybe he'll just find out that he got a coupon for 10% off at the Moon Cafeteria, and oh, how lovely, they had his favorite soup, and he ate it, and it was nice. Well, thanks, fate. What a day for David Bramer. You know, I don't have a lot of high hopes, but we can keep this subtext going. I think we got a pretty promising, you know, horrible serial murder story on our hands. And a really good victim. If one ever deserved it, it's this guy. Oh, good God, the way it starts. "That is sure a long time to have to leave Earth," said Kim. "Yes, I know. But I've made up my mind, and I'm going to do it." "I wish I could be as sure as you are," said Kim. "I guess I'm ready for a little excitement in my life before I get old and die," replied David. "No, you're not. You only live once, you know." "Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been at NASA about 10 years, and I have gotten used to coming in every day. But I have always wanted to leave on a big space mission.
I only have my father to look after. He can take care of himself. He don't really need me.
Are these the best, Nessa? Have you eaten all of the best?
He don't really need me. Then, David said, I'm also doing this because I know I will never get another chance as good as this one that pays so well with the rank of captain. You know, I feel like I've been given a second chance in life, or live two different lives in two different dimensions. I mean, you have lived whatever, just words. Or live two different lives. I can't wait to start it. Hey, Kim, there hasn't been any more flashes of light, have there? On the same heading as our meteor was on. God, it's written so fucking badly.
No, sir, it looks like we...
It looks like we seen the last of our meteor.
Someone needs to hire an English tutor on board this fucking space vessel. Please tell me that they just have some kind of learning difficulty with the English language, but otherwise they're perfectly competent. Please tell me, because I ain't seen no sight of that here on this space station. All I see is demented men and a predator who's rounding up the extremely stupid and for feeding his sexual urges.
That guy was at NASA for 10 years. Was he a special hire? Was it like a government program?
My good God. Anyway, it looks like we seen the last of it. Everything looks normal in that area of space.
You know, that sure was weird how that vanished like that, said David. Oh my God, could you imagine if like a family member of yours was murdered and these two fucks were the detectives on the case? You might as well just give up now. You might as well just give up. You could literally have it on video camera and you'd be like, I don't know how this stuff works.
Really can't tell that much. I mean, it could be, it's probably not, they're not necessarily stabbing him. They could just be hugging him with a knife in their hand while they were bleeding. Who knows? Case closed.
Yes, I know. I thought for sure we were going to see another flash of light on down the road on that same heading. I don't know why. I guess it was the way it disappeared.
Yes, I guess I was kind of hoping that too, but you never really know. You know, I've been looking at the USS Lunar Base 1 on the computer, and this base station's got it all. Just like you said, this little venture may be better than I thought it would be. It's got all kinds of room on it.
What?
How much room is being given to you?
It says here that it can even come apart in three different independent working sections. In case one or two sections get damaged or destroyed, that's really incredible. Well, I'll know if you changed your mind if I see you on board. You know, Kim, it's already time to call it a day. Time has really been flying lately. It's like 9 a.m.
At least it seems that way to me. Hey, Kim, I'll see you in the morning. Have a good evening. You have a good evening.
And then Kim replies, you too, boss. And it's spelled U, T-O with a singular O and no comma. You too, boss.
Okay, you to boss. You to boss. That sounds like a program.
You to boss. How you can be your most boss self. Like, you know what I mean? Some stupid bullshit self-help program. You to boss.
David went home the whole time. Oh, okay. He didn't go home the whole time. My apologies. We don't use commas here. We just guess. David went home. The whole time he looked like he was in a trance or a state of euphoria. When he got home, you know what he ate. A quick sandwich. What was in there? We can guess. And went to bed. He didn't brush his teeth. We know he didn't. That sick baloney smelling fuck. It's like he couldn't wait for tomorrow, so he went ahead and went to sleep as fast as he could. No need for cleaning yourself. That's the astronaut's problems now. He slept like a baby, shitting his pants.
The next morning you received a phone call. It was Bud. It's probably confused.
Where am I? Change me now, Mommy. Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Is everything still on?
You bet, replied Bud. I just called to tell you not to come in today. Instead, take today and Saturday off and get everything in order.
I thought the launch was Saturday. Or is that Sunday?
You might want to say goodbye to your friends or pack all your stuff you want to take with you. In addition, just bring it with you Sunday morning when you come for launch preparations.
Okay, no problem here.
Okay, I will see you Sunday morning then,
said Bud. Okay, I will see you then, sir. I'm so glad we get to partake in all of these boring, pointless fucking conversations that could be explained otherwise during the plot. Thank you so much for telling me over and over about these boring goddamn conversations you're having with the nobody people in this fucking story. Holy shit. I'm not always violent, but when I am, it's because I want to strangle this man right here who wrote this story. You're making me violent. It's your fault. See, I don't believe in domestic violence, but God, I understand the whole you made me do it thing. Fucking made me do it, David. You ate a bologna sandwich and didn't brush your teeth for how many times in a row? You stupid fictional fuck. Anyway, he had a boring ass call because everything he does is boring and we just wish he'd die already. Anyway, he was eating a sandwich and Bud's like, what's up? But he's like, yep, see you later. Cool. Then David hung up the phone and got dressed. Thanks for telling me. I would have assumed he walked in nude otherwise. Boy, I hope you tell us if he eats something next. Well, I mean, you're telling us that he did that. You might as well tell me he brushes his teeth, and if you don't, I will assume he does not, because you tell me every other little mundane motherfucking detail of this man's life. Tell me what type of shampoo does he use? Because he has, like, thin hair and he needs to fluff it up some? How much was it? Did he get off Amazon? Can I get the link? Holy fuck. Link in bio. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm sorry, I can't stop ranting. I want to. Oh, well, there we go. Well, I guess I will go eat some breakfast. Go to the school and say goodbye to everybody. Then come home and pack. I guess I will go out to eat with Cheryl tonight. And then come home and do some more packing? You already said you'd pack! I don't need to know you're gonna do it again and how many steps your packing process will take. This is like talking to grandma and she won't stop talking about shit you don't care about. And you're like, grandma, stop. No one cares. But you don't stop her because you love her. But David is not my grandmother and I will push a pillow on his face until he stops breathing. I would do it. Pack that extra pillow, David. Stars are coming sooner than you think. When David arrived at Cheryl's restaurant, everything seemed to be business as usual, just like it was before the meteor came and went. David sat down in his usual seat. Why would he do anything interesting? And Cheryl came out. When she seen David come in.
Hey, stranger, how's it going? I've been keeping an eye out looking for you this morning. Are we still on for supper tonight?
She's like your grandma, too. She talks about supper. David answered, you bet.
I've had nothing else on my mind since we talked about it.
You lying little shit. You've been talking about the lunar base nonstop. Oof. Don't fucking lie to me, bitch.
I thought we might eat at Red Lobster in Daytona.
They fucking gave us the actual... Also, don't take your date to Red Lobster unless she specifically requested it. No one is impressed by you choosing a chain restaurant. Please, for the love of God, think outside of the box. No one is impressed by Red Lobster. That is what middle-aged couples eat at after their children are in high school and their marriage has died. Do not take them to the motherfucking Red Lobster. All right, those Cheddar Bay biscuits are delicious. And yeah, the food's good, but that's not where you take someone you want to fuck, all right? That's where you take your retirement home date. Don't fucking take your goddamn date to the fucking Red Lobster. Do not fucking do it. Don't. Unless she's like, you know what I love? The Red Lobster. Or if she's like, I love seafood and there's literally nowhere else around, then fine. But if there's any other option,
Choose it, please. David is the person who'd fucking pick Red Lobster in Daytona, which I know Daytona has way better options than Red Lobster, but David would be scared of something that wasn't a chain, that all came from the same fucking production factory, wouldn't he? He wants the same company that makes his bologna to make his fucking lobster, because David's scared of different. And luckily, the moon probably only has moon brand things, so David doesn't have to shit himself over something new. Fucking David. Wait, I don't even know if you like seafood. David, you absolute fucking shit.
Don't worry, I love seafood and I love Red Lobster. They have great food there.
What the fuck, are you advertising for Red Lobster? No, they don't. I mean, their food's mediocre. It's not great. I mean, okay, they have two brain cells to rub together. Like, don't get me wrong, I love all-you-can-eat shrimp. Don't take me there if you want to fuck me and expect me to be impressed. Like, I'm sorry. I like fun dates, but a chain dinner and then probably going back to your house to watch you play some kind of game on your laptop because that's what David would do does not sound like my idea of a date. Like, we're probably going to go home and he's going to show me vacation slides, right? Like, that's what David would do. He'd be like, hey, why don't you come home and you can talk to my mom? To, like, prove that he actually got a date and that the Red Lobster line worked for once. Because that was probably her idea.
Oh, the ladies love the Red Lobster, David. Just ask to go to the Red Lobster.
Like, that's something your fucking mom would recommend. No offense, Mom. She'd have a better idea than that. But your mom, specifically. Just kidding. Nah. Just kidding. You know I fuck your mom. All right, anyway. She loves seafood, too, baby. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet down there. Anyway, she's saying,
I haven't eaten there in about a year.
This is going to be great. Oh, yeah, it's still her. Sorry. Can't tell.
This is going to be great, unlike that comment Dangerous just made about your mother's. Take that to therapy with you. Do you want the usual 222? I would love the 222 because I hate change. Thank you. Coming right up, David. Hey, Cindy, would you get this man a cup of decafé, please?
He won't drink caffeine. It's a drug, you see. And it might make his heart go a little pittery-pat. He's not Mormon, but he's got that kind of Mormon philosophy. He probably thinks religion's too spicy. So he's like, I don't know how I feel about all those books. It's a whole lot of, like, murder in those books. Too much for me. I want my religion decaf. My gods, you don't care about anything and nothing happens ever. Ooh, that's this book, Moon People. Anyway, he loves decafé. It's French. It's French for waterless trash. Caffeineless trash. Caffeineless trash water. That's what I meant. Decafé.
Coming right up, I'll get you paper too.
Sure, thank you. It didn't take long before David's breakfast was done. Wow, we've heard so much about his eating habits. It's almost like they have nothing about space to discuss. But man, this guy knows a lot about baloney. Anyway, thankfully, his breakfast was quick. Cheryl brought it out to him and told him that she had one more order to get out and she would come and sit with him for a while. David said, I mean, honestly, there's no comma, so it's, David said I would really like that. I don't know why. He doesn't know me, and he's wrong. David said I would really like that, with a big smile on his face. Such a fucking... It was just a prank, bro. It's a social experiment. He noticed his breakfast was perfect looking. Wow, holy shit. That is the fucking compliment a 10-year-old would give you to, like, a birthday cake you made them, right? Like, it's perfect looking. Perfect looking? You're a grown-ass fucking man. Not plated excellently or beautiful presentation, but perfect looking. Well, is that suspicious? Is it perfect tasting? Or does it look perfect, but when he took a bite, he realized it was just cardboard? Perfect looking. And then he realized it had been painted, and she gave him the old display eggs. They were just plastic props. Then he said, because of course he can't just think it, I'm sure he's going to now repeat it out loud for everyone to hear. This man can't just think a thing. And the us readers see it. He has to then verbalize this. I mean, okay, if you are a writer and you don't know this, let me just give you a little tip. Don't fucking tell your reader twice the same goddamn thing. I mean, as anyone who's ever had to read a story, don't repeat your goddamn self if it's not necessary. Especially these mundane fucking details. You ever see that movie? What is it? The Birdemic. And they start the movie by showing this guy driving to a gas station and then pumping his gas and then getting back in his car and then driving somewhere else. There's no point to it. It feels like 10 or 15 minutes of this movie is just following this guy pumping gas. He's not like having a conversation. Nothing's happening other than this guy's commute. There was no reason for that. This entire story so far is 75% David's commute to the gas station. We haven't even really gotten to the pumping part yet. Your mom got to the pumping part, though, real early, let me tell you. Anyway, we're going to repeat this again, just like I have with the mom jokes, over and over. It's never stopping, just like your mom. It's got a lot of staying power, this joke. All right. And then he said, because we love to repeat ourselves, this breakfast looks good. Thank you. Wow, now I know he's a very kind man because he says things like, this breakfast looks good, thank you, out loud. Cheryl had a big smile because I now believe she's not allowed to have anything else on her face. It's like China where they do those cameras making sure those like people are smiling when they go into work, right? Like China or Japan or wherever it was, and you have to be smiling at work. Now it's just like that. Cheryl, she works there. She comes in there like, big smile, or you have to go home. She's like, oh, great, thanks. They're like, if he asks you out, you will say yes. She's like, but he smells. She's like, too bad. You have to say yes. She had a big smile and said, anytime. David went at it. Does he eat like an animal? He just uses his face, like smashing it onto the plate, rubbing his face into the eggs. When he was almost done with his breakfast, period. That's it. That's a whole sentence, guys. When he was almost done with his breakfast. That's it. Cheryl came out and sat down with David. David said this breakfast was delicious. David said this breakfast was delicious, but the lack of commas. He said it was delicious. I wish he would stop talking for me. Like, I don't trust his advice. David said this breakfast was delicious. Thank you very much. Oh, apparently David had another David recommend the breakfast to him. Or maybe he's got DID and it's an alter. Came out to say, hey, David said this breakfast was delicious. It's not me, David. It's my alter. I'm glad you liked it. Wait, is that Cheryl talking? I'm glad you liked it. Did you make up your mind about the base station job? Yes, I did. I'm going to do it. You've told us 70 times you're going to do it now, David. Just fucking do it. But what I didn't know was that I was going to go so quick.
How quick?
Cheryl asked. We already know, but let's talk about it again, Mr. Paddington Essay. That's the person who wrote it. Paddington Essay. I have to show up at 0900 Sunday morning for flight preparations and a quick health checkup. Then we launch Monday morning on Halloween at 0900.
Wow, that is quick.
That's the end of chapter 7. Holy shit, this fucking story. This story is so horrible, guys. I'm loving it because I'm roasting the fuck out of this. I am actually having a great time. Hopefully, I haven't been too offensive to you guys today or a little too intensely dangerous. But I hope you all enjoyed this as much as I did, and I hope that I will see you back here next week for your punishment, your weekly punishment, as we continue to go through David Eats Bologna and talks about his breakfast, the story. So I hope you're all having a good time, and yeah, let's see if I can retain at least two of you. Come back next week and let's torture ourselves together. All right, I will see you guys then. Mwah. Bye.